You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
To reassure us all that the language of the frontier is alive and well, doing its work, several years ago we had the condo The Edge, and now, not far from here, we have the Terminus Lofts. The end is near, is the advertisement for them. And of course, we have Be Bold or Move to Suburbia in the Woodwards District. Not long ago, I wrote something called Urban Policy Frontiers. And I thought really carefully about putting those words together, because the frontier metaphor is extremely risky. But I see the infusion of frontier metaphors and discourses into policy as crucial. And when I talk about policy, I'm talking about policy wonkish sorts of things, but I'm also talking about the policy of the streets. And I approach this as an academic who has deep reverence for the people who are the true intellectuals, the organic intellectuals of the street, who know more about this than I do. So please allow me to be open mouth, insert foot. Here's the status of where we stand. 4,992 SROs in the downtown east side to protect against speculation, to protect against the soft conversions. The geography of this and the gentrification as the economic frontier is really there. There's no question that we are facing a hurricane condominia, category 4 storm that is breaching the levees around the downtown east side. And there's a lot of, it's an extremely difficult fight, and yet people are committed to raising difficult questions about property, about ownership. The deep irony in property, Nick knows a lot more of this about this than I do, but we use words in very bizarre ways. Think about equity. We talk about home equity. Ooh, let's borrow against it. Oh, that's great. There's nothing equitable about that. There's nothing equitable about all the implicit subsidies that go into that, and the favorable treatment of the favorable tax treatment of the kinds of resources and the kinds of rights and the kinds of protections that are afforded in it. This is often a very obscure policy language, but I think part of our job, whether we're organic intellectuals of the streets or whether we overpaid professors like me, was to try to really bring it clear all of the hidden subsidies that are out there supporting an inequitable situation that makes it extremely difficult to protect a right to the city. Food Not Bombs is an organization that is organizing across North America to try to bring this clearly ahead in terms of the municipal ordinances that are being passed that criminalize things like giving food to people. We wouldn't want to do this. So I'm thinking of some of the work on the struggles over this in Las Vegas and other cities that have tried to criminalize giving food to people in parks. Now, in all of this, one role that I think is important that we have disinvested in recent years is the issue of accountability in terms of methods. One of the dramatic things that has allowed the language of regeneration, renaissance, revitalization. After 50 years, we're finally now seeing urban renewal, which was discredited among anyone who knew the history, is coming back. It's making a serious comeback in many sub-policy discussions. But one of the things that allows that to make a comeback is short memories. But another thing that allows it to make a comeback is an inability to really hold policy elites, developers, pro-gentrification forces accountable. And one way of doing that involves really scrutinizing their methods very, very carefully. So I talked about 4,992. The politics of those numbers are very important. One of the things that I have been troubled by in recent years has been a conservative turn in some academics' approach to the issue of displacement or gentrification. And in public discussions, gentrification is often described as affecting only a tiny section of the land market. And yes, that is accurate. If you draw boundaries around it in a very careful, rigorous fashion, it affects a small portion of the land market. But it's a leading edge, and it's a leading edge for policy formulation. It's a leading edge that allows the creation of whole new types of policy languages. Think about the entire discourse of underclass neighborhoods that underwrote the dramatic conservative turn in social assistance policy in many societies. We need to fight any of these pro-gentrification processes by identifying the contradictions in the quasi-positivist terms that policymakers have to listen to. So in the case of Vancouver, the logic of Milton Friedman style thinking about if we simply allow the developers to provide the supply, the price of housing will decrease and affordability problems will disappear, you have to point out added supply is not easing affordability. So over the last 5 years, the fastest Vancouver price increases have been in those housing types where supply has increased the fastest. Prices rose 143% between 2002 and 2007 for standard condos on the east side, 138% for east side luxury condos, and 128% for west side condos. So increasing supply and drove prices higher rather than easing affordability. Now, this makes sense as soon as you start to think about housing is not just supply and demand for people who need a place to live, but it's supply and demand for those who are mainly interested in capital gains. That's where we have to talk about the right to the city, the right to capital, versus the right to a place to live. Unfortunately, a lot of people have kind of stepped back from doing these kinds of little numbers and holding policy elites accountable. Meaningless statistics increased by 49% last year. And part of it, it's because that, you know, we've all been bombarded with statistics, okay? But another part of it is kind of we have stepped back from the methodological tradition, and we've gotten a lot of problems resulting from that, because we've ceded the ground to people who are vested in coming in and using the proprietary data sets of pro-gentrification forces to talk about the virtues of equity. Because, of course, they're speaking to people who have it, who have the home equity. So I like to talk about this as method acting. So things like sometimes it involves sampling on the dependent variable, choosing a best case, best practice scenario of social mix to support broad generalizations and how good regeneration policy can be for everybody. Other times it entails sampling to maximize non-response, like searching for displaced people in precisely those places where they have been displaced from. And the best is sampling to maximize sampling error, like asking developers or gentrifiers whether they think displacement is a problem. So we need to stop the method acting, and that would be my plea. Finally, we are encountering a process of capital punishment now. That's what the headlines are referring to on Wall Street. We don't know precisely what's going to happen here, but the scale of this, $500 billion in subprime write-downs over the last 18 months, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, bizarre acronyms, of the quasi, the duck-billed platypus of the financial world, own or guarantee $5 trillion of residential mortgages. Lehman filing for bankruptcy yesterday, the largest bankruptcy in U.S. history, $600 billion. And then the $85 billion nationalization of AIG. We are seeing the collapse of a neoliberal compact that has prevailed for the last 20 years in housing finance. It is not entirely clear precisely where this leads us for gentrification. But what I would say is that above all things, we need to sustain the word gentrification precisely because those who promote it want to avoid it. And I would suggest that gentrification is not among the organic intellectuals of the streets, conceptualized in a narrow way, it is the start of the conversation. It gets people to talk about things in explicit terms about the right to the city in a way that starts important conversations about rights, equity, the right to the city, that hold extraordinary possibility. So I think we have a lot of work to do, but I'm also extremely optimistic in terms of these conversations that many people are having, not just in this room, but on the streets and in the marches and in the mobilizations.